How you doing, everybody? This is your guy, Taz the Angel, here with more card talk, good conversation you can ride to. And I want to start off, as I always do, thanking everyone, the watchers, the listeners, the commenters, the likers, the sharers, the supporters. I always want to start off with by thanking you, because we have now reached over 1,000 listens, which that's big to me. And that's only on the audio platforms. It's not including YouTube, the views and listens from that. On listens only, we have over 3,000. So I appreciate you guys. I thank you so much for being on this ride with me, you know, as I ride with you. So also, we're going to do the advertisement, which is Steven Johnson Windshield Repair, where they fix rock damage in chips or cracks that are 6 inches and smaller. Give them a call at 940-539-5912. Send them either a call or a text message to set your appointment, preferably text message. That way it's easier to keep track, where, you know, time frames, locations, like addresses, it's easier to hold on to those in text message form. So give them a text message to get your quote and set your appointment to get your windshield repaired, where they usually take maximum 15 minutes of your time. So literally 15 minutes can save you hundreds of dollars, because especially if you have a vehicle that's 08 to more recent, anything that's more recent from 2008 on closer to our year, those windshields replacements are not cheap, because they have sensors in them that have to be replaced as well. Easily $300-$400. So 15 minutes can literally save you hundreds of dollars. Again, send a text message to 940-539-5912 to set your appointment now to get your windshield repaired in the Gainesville, Texas, Denton, Sanger, Lindsay, and there's an old city that I'm missing. But in that area. But yeah, set your appointment now and save yourselves hundreds of dollars and heartache. Okay. Whew. So, this is the first episode that I've done since my Memories of Black Family series. And that series went really well, I believe. As far as both both by reception as well as execution, I think they went really well. Of course, my family loved them and didn't like some of the memories I shared, but you know, they get me. So I really liked that series, and I'll be looking to do more series later on about different things. Some, you know, about family, series about life. I've done a series on communication before, a relationship goals series. So I'm gonna do those, as well as more story times. I haven't done that many story times lately because I kind of felt like the Black Memories of Black Family series was like a series of story times, you know, because those are memories. So but today's topic will be something that's a little more pressing. And for you all who have been listening for a while and watching for a while, you know, there's no free advertisement, you know. So this is just a bottle of A beverage, a brown beverage. The title of today's episode is The Mentality Behind Living Your Truth. And I'll start off by saying there's honestly, practically one truth. But in the society that we live in, there are three truths. One is an irrefutable truth. 2 + 2 = 4. It'll never change. Also known as an objective truth. Then you have subjective truths, where you can say something like, today will be a sunny day. It may be true today, but it won't be true tomorrow. Otherwise known as a subjective truth. And then you have the subjective truth is also what people call your truth. Like how some women, this is just an example, how some women believe that it's a fact that there are no good men out there because of whatever experiences that they've experienced. That's definitely not an irrefutable fact, but it has become a fact in their life. And then you have the truths that I guess we'll call it a repetitious truth. Things that you hear so often that they end up becoming the truth. I guess an example would be how a lot of people say money is the root of all evil. I've heard it on TV shows. I've seen it in memes. Heard in the rap songs. One of the memes irritated the crap out of me. It said, if money is the root of all evil, why do churches ask for it? That is such an ignorant based question. The reason why that is the case is because, one, the actual verse is, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money, not money. Because no inanimate object can be evil. None. Even when these politicians are trying to say, people shouldn't have, don't need this type of gun, we should ban that type of gun. It's not the gun. The gun sitting down on the table shoots no one. It only shoots when a person picks up and fires using the trigger. It's the people. It's not the inanimate object. So it's not the money. Money is not the root of all evil. Also, people, stop trying to talk. Now, there are always exceptions. There are some churches or some pastors over churches that do and will exploit their members, just like anything will. You can work at one company that will pay you $10 for doing a certain service, and then you can go to another that'll be willing to pay you $18. And the one that was paying $10 per hour, they may be capable of paying you $18, but they'd rather exploit you than award you or reward you and appreciate you, because they're trying to get the highest profit. Y'all know how the trains go around here, man. Hopefully it'll leave pretty soon. I'm looking at it past. But yeah, so there are some churches, sure, that, I'm sorry, there are some pastors over churches, because it can't be the church, because again, the church is an inanimate object. Is the pastor who takes advantage of the people. So there are some pastors that do take advantage of their people, but I don't believe that that's the majority, because if it was the majority, I don't believe that churches would be as popular and still used as they are. Now, of course, pandemic terms, we're not really going to the physical church, but you know, where you have your tithes and your building funds, those are called maintenance. And they're called a salary. Because many pastors don't have full-time jobs. Their full-time job is trying to help guide your soul to heaven, based on, you know, what they do. So that is their salary, along with the maintenance of the building. That building has a water bill and a light bill. Every time they fill that big old pool up to do baptisms, that's a water bill. When you're using the bathrooms, when you're drinking out the water fountain, that's a water bill. When you're in there, that's a light bill. All those lights, all those ceiling fans, the air conditioning, that's a light bill. The microphone, sound system, those things need to be replaced. They're electronic, they break. So to act as if a church or a pastor isn't supposed to require some type of finance is a foolish thought. Because if you saw a pastor who was broke, who had messed up shoes and a wrinkled suit with a tie that don't match, you wouldn't believe that that person was a messenger from God. Because how can that person tell me that God will provide when they busted? When they ain't got nothing, they having to take an Uber to come here to pastor us. How they gonna tell me about God providing? They ain't even got a whip. So to try to then say, oh, well, you shouldn't have this amount of money, why can't a person who pastors be wealthy? But that's another conversation for another day. You guys know how I rant and ramble sometimes. Deal with it. I love you. So that is an example of a truth that has been heard so many times that becomes a truth to people. People really believe that the Bible verse says that money is the root of all evil, where again it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Because you have then put objects over people. And once an object is more important than human life, you have no issue taking that human life. You have no issue taking from that human, manipulating them. You have no problem stealing, killing, lying, deceiving. That's why the love of money is the root of all evil. Because once you put that inanimate object's importance or value above human life, you will be willing to do, once you put that inanimate object's value above human life, I did that wrong for the listeners. I put the human life above the love of money when I was supposed to put it below. So once you put that above the value of human life, you then have no true reverence for human life. And then you've lost your excuse me, good shot, Scope. Then you've lost your humanity. And again, once you've done that, once you've gotten there to that point, you then have no issue doing whatever you have to do two people in order to get that inanimate object that you desire, whether it be money, drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever that object is, the object of your greed. It doesn't matter what you have to do to get it. So the irrefutable truth is my favorite, and that's one reason why I believe I excelled in math when I was in school. Because no matter how you feel, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on around you, math will always be math. 2 plus 2 will always be 4. 5 times 5 will always be 25. I don't care if you're sad, heartbroken, happy, angry, whatever. 5 times 5 will be 25. I appreciate and give great value to that consistency. But if you are reading anything, if you're reading, say you're in English class or literature class, and you're reading a passage, the tone of your reading can change. Even if you're reading the same passage, the tone of your reading can change if you're uninterested, if you're excited, if you're sad, mad. All of those can affect the delivery and the comprehension from that passage. Think about this. For math, we have teachers. For the Bible, we have preachers. Now explain the difference. See, the teacher, the math teacher, their job is to show you how to properly use a function, whether that be an equation, a variable, sine, cosine. They show you, hey, this is what the function is. This is how you use it, plugging whatever numbers and letters and variables, whatever, plugging all of those in their proper place, and then it's yours. Have at it. Whereas the preacher's job is not only to show you what the passage is, or what the verse, or what the scripture is, but to also help you understand the true meaning behind it. Because with different readers, you get different comprehensions, get different understandings, because the same words can have a different effect on your spirit depending on where you are at that time in life. Think about how many times you've heard someone say something, give you some form of advice, and at that time you had some form of understanding from it. But then months or maybe years later, something happened to make you go back to that moment and think in your head, oh, this is what they meant. This is what they were talking about. I was thinking, this is what they meant. Because those words had a different comprehension or a different meaning to you based on your experience. That is the difference between an irrefutable, objective truth and a subjective truth. Because words can be influenced by wherever, who by the listener, whoever hears them or reads them. And a way to easily understand this is to think, how many times have we seen on social media where you'll have a celebrity who made some video or post or tweet 5, 6, 7, 10, 15 years ago? I won't say 15. I say 10. I leave it. I cap it off 10. Up to 10 years ago. And people go back. They did the Kevin Hart when he was about to host the Oscars. Go back and be like, hey, these words are problematic. Now, someone 10 years later had that interpretation. But at the time of that post, there was no outrage. Because it wasn't interpreted. His post, when he said, if my son, and this is not a direct quote, this is just a paraphrasing. He said something along the lines of, if my son come to me and tell me he's gay, I'ma hit him over the head with a dollhouse or something like that. Now, that's obviously a joke, even if he's not a comedian, which he is and was at the time. Even if he wasn't a stand-up comedian, that still sounds like a joke to me. Because where would you get the dollhouse if you didn't support him? You know what I mean? Like, let's just think about it. If you really had an issue with believing that your son was gay, where would you have the dollhouse to even hit him with it? You know? And furthermore, based on his behavior, from what we had seen up to that point, and after, in my opinion, he seems like a loving guy, a man who cares a lot about people in general, but especially his family. So, to think that he would actually assault his child with a dollhouse and take something like that literally, that's a mindset that I don't understand, and I don't care to understand. And I'll say this quickly and move forward. My issue with the people who take offense to those types of things is the reason why there's no such thing as equality. Fat people get joked on all the time. There's no group that gathers in support of each other and defends or attacks anyone who jokes about them. Short people, black people, white people, Asian people. Black people, you get the lazy, ghetto hood jokes all the time. White people, you get the vanilla, you don't season your food jokes all the time. Racist, and when I say racist, I mean you are racist. Get those types of jokes all the time. Asian people get the you're really good at math, you suck at driving jokes all the time, you're short, you got a little male members. You get those types of jokes all the time. Hispanics, you always get the jokes of how they're here illegally. They got 25 people living in one house and 18 of them ride together and to work in a Honda Accord. You get these kind of jokes all the time. But there's no coalition to join and say, hey, don't talk about them like that. Their life is difficult. But you do when it comes to people who are homosexual or not heterosexual is the easiest way to say it. That's not equality. That's special treatment. That's privilege. And non-heterosexual people are super privileged now, to the point where that's a different story. I said I was going to say that and leave, so I'll just leave. But they have privileges that non-heterosexual people have. I'm sorry, that non-heterosexual people don't have. Because again, all of those other groups get joked on, and way more groups get joked on. None of them have a group, a spearhead, to say, hey, don't joke about us, because they take them as jokes. And a lot of those jokes come from real things, come from real stereotypes, come from real experiences. There are racist white people. There are white people who don't see us in their food. There are hood and ghetto black people. There are Asian people who are really good at math. There are Hispanic people that live and have multiple families living in one home. Those jokes and stereotypes come from some form of truth. So it can't be, well, these are things that's really happening to us, to non-heterosexual people. That's why it's a problem. All these jokes stem from some form of truth. But to finish that and get back on topic, they took Kevin Hart's tweets from a decade prior and then labeled him homophobic. And because I'm a stickler for English, I have to make this correction now. Adding the word, I'm sorry, the suffix phobic behind a word does not equal hate. You are using the word improperly. You're using the suffix improperly. Phobia means fear of. Arachnophobia, fear of arachnids, spiders. Bozophobia, fear of bozos, clowns. It is a word that means fear of, not hatred towards. So to think that someone is homophobic means that that person is afraid of homosexuals, not they hate them. Same thing with transphobic. They're afraid of, they don't hate. So these words are being improperly used on a terrible level. But again, a decade later, they labeled Kevin Hart homophobic and tried to cancel him. Why did it take 10 years for that reaction? Because words can be interpreted differently depending on the interpreter, the reader, or the listener. This is the danger with a subjective truth. This is the danger of living your truth. Living your truth honestly breeds division. Because you have a truth, you have a truth, I have a truth, everybody has a truth. Is there such thing as a lie when everyone has an individual form of the truth? When are we going to be honest? When are we going to tell each other the irrefutable truths? The objective truths. There was a discussion that I had with my friends years ago. And we were talking about some injustice that happened to black people or a black person. And I don't remember the exact incident because sadly there have been so many different incidents in recent times. Can't even remember which one we were discussing at the time. but people were talking about rioting. I'm sorry, protesting. There's a difference, so I need to use the correct word. People were speaking on or talking about protesting. And one of my friends said they didn't want any part of it. It didn't have anything to do with them. They weren't gonna worry about it. And I said, that's the problem though. We won't get anywhere because we don't do anything until it involves us. And at that point, two things happen. One, it's too late. Two, the other people don't care because it doesn't involve them, so you're fighting a fight alone. That is one of the biggest disparities in the Black community. We do not unify anymore. We just push each other away. I live my life and my truth. You live yours. You deal with what you deal with on your... We don't unify anymore. Now, I'm proud of us for what we've done these last few years with this racial injustice, with the George Floyds, with the Ahmaud Arbery, with all of the different ones that we've had. I'm proud of us for that. Now we need to unify in other areas. We're better at unifying when we're mistreated. Now it's time for us to unify again, or reunify together for community. For community. For progress. We are a over a trillion dollar grossing group. But we're in the bottom when it comes to wealth. On average, a Black man gets $10,000 less than a white man at the same age and level of work experience. On average. We have to again, you know, unify on other fronts that aren't just us being beaten, shot, and killed. I saw and commented on a post on Facebook a few weeks ago where a person said something along the lines of, I guess we don't have the village raising our kids anymore because they bad as I'll get out. And they were speaking on a specific city, my city. And I said parents killed the village when they said, don't tell my kids nothing. You don't talk to my kids. I'm their parent, not you. Parents killed the village. And that's why so many children have an issue with authority, because they see their parents stopping them from being chastised when it's necessary. We have to unify, reunify. Have to, for us to progress. But as long as we deal with subjective truths, we won't. Because I have my own truth to live and you'll have your own. Instead of us living the total truth, the objective, irrefutable truth. We have to focus more on that than our truth. Because another problem with living your truth, a lot of times it's an excuse to not grow. It's an excuse to not receive advice because it doesn't feel good, because it requires you to work, it requires you to change. So we'll say, oh, you, that's your truth, I'm living my truth, that's not mine, that's not relevant to me. It is. Just doesn't feel good, and that's okay. It's called growing pains for a reason. It hurts to mature. It hurts to grow. Because you have to fight against your old habits. And in totality, you have to fight against your old self. Nobody wants to fight themselves. Nobody just wants to. But we have to if we're going to improve. Which means we have to lean more to the objective, irrefutable truth than the subjective truth, than your truth. Live the truth, not your truth. Because I've heard many times from a guy, I have anger problems, so they're more prone to fight people. Assault them, beat them up, than I am. But, and this is a subjective truth of mine, I'll say. A lot of, and I've had to tell some guys this. A lot of people have, a lot of those guys have a luxury that I don't, that I'm not afforded. And that luxury is simply, they can have a fight and go home. If I, if I fight someone, I don't go home that day. I go to jail. I don't have the luxury of losing my temper and just fighting in a bar and just going home to tell the homies about it the next day. I'm not afforded that privilege. Because if I lose my temper, not only do people get hurt, but it's probably going to be some structural damage around me. Furniture's going to get moved around. Glasses are going, tables going to get broken. There's a lot of stuff that will happen. So I can't just fly off the handle because I have bad temper. I have to fight against that temper. Because, as Denzel said, or Alonzo rather, was his character, but as Denzel said, Training Day, you want to go to jail or you want to go home? I want to go home. So because of that, I have to fight against my nature to bust somebody in their face if they say something that I don't like. Because at the end of the day, do you want to go to jail or do you want to go home? I want to go home. So, this, I have an anger problem, so I'm just going to act out violently. It's unacceptable. You're a grown man. You're a grown man. Stop fighting just because someone said something you didn't like. Or mistakenly bumped into you. Or stepped on your shoes and you gotta knock them out because of your shoes. For the love of. Is the root of all evil. When you put a pair of shoes value over someone's life. And someone's health. You've already lost. So let's stop living these subjective truths. Stop living your truth and just live the truth. You have an anger problem? Do something about it. Go get therapy. Meditate. Take melatonin. Smoke CBD. Do something about it. Stop accepting the problem and saying, oh, it's my truth. The truth is you need to do something about it and make it better. You need to gain control over it because you're too old to have a temper tantrum. Do something about it instead of accepting it. Stop accepting mediocrity and saying it's because of your life experience. Oh, this is my truth. Or I get mad like this and I just lash out because of, you know, when I was a kid. That's all fine and dandy, but what you gonna do about it? Because we've all experienced things. We've all been hurt. We've all been mishandled. We've all been talked down on. We all have experiences. Excuse me, that drive us and that make us who we are. And the experience of accepting it is making you stay who you are instead of becoming someone better, instead of becoming someone greater. Stop accepting mediocrity and explaining it by or justifying it by saying, it's my truth. Let's stop it. Because all you're doing is causing division in your life. Because nobody wants to sit around someone who is willfully aggressive, who's willfully dumb. Oh, I didn't graduate, so I don't know this or that. We got Google. We have it. It's here. Whatever you need to know, you can research. And if you don't know how to find it out, find someone in your circle that either has experienced it or they may know someone who experienced it so they can help you find out. I won't say who this was, but a few months ago, I was with someone and he was upset to the point of tears. And I asked, what's wrong? And he said, I want to register for college, but I don't know how. And he's really upset. I mean, like I said, tears are actually coming out because of how upset he is. And I said, okay. First of all, never be upset. I said, never be upset by not because you don't know something. That's just an opportunity to learn. That's all that is. In the moment when you realize you don't know something, that is the opportunity to learn. That's what learning is. Being introduced to a piece of knowledge that you didn't have prior to that moment. So first of all, never be upset because you don't know something. Now it's time to find it out. The only time you should be upset is when you accept not knowing something, because then you're being willfully ignorant. And then the second thing I said to him was, hey, do you know anyone who went to college? He said, yes. I said, who? He said, you. I said, okay, so ask me, what do you do? Why are you upset? You don't have knowledge of this area, but you know someone who has lived that area. Go to them. Even if it wasn't me. If you knew someone else who had gone to college, contact that person and ask them, hey, how do you get registered? What do you do? It's that simple. But we have to get outside of ourselves. We have to get outside of ourselves, because when we sit in the moment of the feeling, we're stuck until we choose to get unstuck. So it was his truth at the time that he didn't know how to look into going to a college or what to go for, any of those things. But moments later, that wasn't his truth. That's why you shouldn't live your truth, because in a few moments it can change. You can say all men are trash, and the second later you can have someone who opens the door for you and says, "I do you, ma'am." You look nice today. Have a great day. Doesn't try to hit on you. Don't try to smash. You compliment and dip. Because those guys are around. I know, because I'm one of them. I'll give a compliment and then just dip. Because every compliment doesn't mean I want to have sex with you. But because of some of your experiences, that may be your truth. But it is not the truth, which is more important. Thank you guys for listening, for watching, for liking, for commenting, sharing, supporting, donating, all of the above and more. I appreciate you guys. Have a great day.